Welcome to Dementia Unraveled. I'm Lyndall Harris, a dementia doula, sharing information about dementia and brain health to help us better understand it. I was chatting to a woman last week. Her husband kept insisting that he was going on a date with his high school girlfriend, and she didn't know how to respond. When I introduced her to the idea of connection over correction, it completely changed how she saw those moments, and that's what today's episode is about. When someone we love is living with dementia, our instinct is to correct them, to bring them back to reality, and that instinct comes from a place of love. But today I want to offer a different way to think about it, and it's certainly one I wish I knew about earlier. Our instinct is to anchor our loved one in reality, and that feels like the kind thing and the right thing to do. But for someone whose brain is changing, their reality is real to them in that moment. And something that really helped me was understanding that they can't change their mind, they can't change their reality as easily as we can, because we don't have brain change happening. Correction can cause distress, confusion, embarrassment, and even withdrawal. And here's why that distress can be so intense, because dementia doesn't just affect memory, it affects the whole nervous system. The damage that dementia causes to the brain frequently impacts both the central nervous system, which controls thought and emotion, and the autonomic nervous system, which controls the involuntary functions like heart rate and breathing. So what this means in practice is that the brain's ability to regulate emotional responses is compromised. And when we correct someone or argue with them, we're not just confusing them. We could be triggering their nervous system that can genuinely not self-regulate the way it used to. This is why you might see what looks like an overreaction to something really small, intense distress, agitation, crying, or withdrawal. It's not stubbornness or attention seeking. It's a brain that's lost some of its ability to self-regulate. Families often find this reframe really helpful because it shifts the question from why are they being so difficult to what does my loved one's nervous system need right now? And at the end of the day, we can't logic someone out of an experience that their brain is creating. So what we can do as the person who doesn't have brain change is meet them where they are. And so what that looks like is stepping into their world rather than pulling them back into ours. It doesn't mean that you're lying. It means that you're responding to the emotion and the meaning, not the facts. So for example, the husband going on a date, he wasn't confused. He was actually feeling like he was living in that era, so 40, 50 years ago, and he was feeling either excited or nervous or a sense of himself as someone who was in those high school years or those late teenage years. So when he told his wife that he was going on a date, and our normal reaction is, no, you're not going on a date. And, you know, she lives in a different city or a different town, or she's married and has kids, or she's not alive anymore. That automatically puts him into that state of distress and confusion that he wasn't feeling then. So another way to do it is if the wife stepped into his reality instead of correcting him, she could have asked, where are they going? Are they going out to dinner or are they going to a movie? So she wasn't really agreeing that it was real, but she also wasn't correcting and putting the husband into a state of confusion or distress. That's connection. That's saying, I hear you, I see you, and I'm here with you. So let's talk about it and have a conversation. And this is something that I've learnt and started to put into practice, and I can see how much of a difference it makes. I've mentioned before that my mum has mild cognitive impairment, and it's been for many years. And we often would argue because I would say, oh, I told you about that. And she would say, no, you didn't tell me. And then I would argue that I did tell her. And then I would try and place it where we were having coffee at that time and when I told her, which really was a waste of time because mum wasn't going to remember that event of when I told her something. And so rather than saying, I did tell you, I didn't, it did. It was quite comical because we would go back and forth and we are very close, so we would laugh about it. But you can see that if someone was more advanced with a type of dementia, that would very quickly distress them and put them on the back foot and make them feel embarrassed. So now, rather than saying, do you remember I told you, or remember we spoke about, if she doesn't remember, I just say, oh, sorry, I thought I told you about that. And then we move on with the conversation. Connection over correction works really well with another strategy called validation. Together, they're probably the two most useful tools when it comes to navigating dementia and some of those difficult moments. Validation is about acknowledging the emotional reality of what someone is experiencing, even when the factual content isn't accurate. So it's things like saying, well, that sounds really worrying, or I can hear how much that means to you. Tell me more about that. It's not about saying, no, that's not right. You already told me that. That didn't happen. Don't worry about it. So if somebody living with dementia says to you that they're having a bad day, or they just feel a little bit cranky, or they feel a little bit off, validate it. Ask them why. Start having a conversation with them and see if you can redirect them out of that loop of how they're feeling and bring them back to a happier moment. And it won't always go perfectly, but that's okay. It's the intention that matters. Validation doesn't mean that you're endorsing a false belief. It means that you're honoring the feeling and remembering that the person with dementia might not remember everything, but they do have feelings and those feelings are real, even when the facts aren't. As I mentioned before, this was a really important reframe for me because it was understanding that dementia changes the brain. That is not something that your loved one can control, reverse, or choose to do differently. And Leah Keating and I had a great conversation in episode 8 about some of those brain changes. But what we can change is how we respond, and that changes everything. The distress in these moments for both you and your loved one often comes from that collision between their world and ours. When we stop trying to correct and we start trying to connect, that collision softens. It does take a little bit of practice and it won't always come naturally, but it is learnable and it really is worth learning. And probably the first step of learning is pause before you respond. Ask yourself, what are they feeling here? Because here's the thing, that pause is doing something really important. It's you regulating yourself first. And as someone who knows what it feels like when my own nervous system gets dysregulated, I know it's not always easy. But for the person who's living with dementia, it's so much harder. This is something that I see impact families that I work with. And it really is lovely. For example, the woman I was talking to about her husband, she was really excited to have a different way to actually go and have that conversation now, rather than correcting him. I felt really happy for her. She was just so relieved to have a different way to approach it. It's not about giving up on the truth. It's not about lying. It's about choosing connection over conflict. And for the person living with dementia, being met with warmth instead of correction is the difference between feeling safe and feeling dysregulated and lost. I really hope this episode gave you something to think about or something to try. And if it did, I'd love to hear about it. So send me a message. If you know someone who's in the thick of it right now, please share this episode, because sometimes having the words for what to do makes all the difference, and it can change someone's day from the very beginning if we're not starting with a dysregulated nervous system that then snowballs throughout the day. The next episode is the final episode for season one, and we're talking about something that I am really passionate about. We know that up to 45% of dementia diagnoses may be linked to factors that we can actually influence. So next time, we're talking about the modifiable risk factors, what that means, and what you can do right now for your brain health. That's next week on Dementia Unraveled. Thanks for listening to Dementia Unraveled. If you've enjoyed this episode, please follow the podcast and share it with someone who might find it helpful. Links to my website and socials and any resources mentioned can be found in the show notes. This podcast is for educational purposes only and isn't a substitute for professional medical advice.